She's got places to go and people to see. All right, I just want to remind you, too, we're having a meeting in the parlor immediately following the service today on our mission trip to Haiti. If anybody's interested in going, if you resonate that in your heart and you bear witness with that, we're going to meet in there. Russ Sutton's going to lead our discussion. He's been in contact with the people. There are some new developments in Haiti, so those are some things we're going to have to talk about. But we'll meet in the parlor if you're interested immediately following. Thank you. All right, let's get our word out. Father, we just pray right now, just use your word to tear down strongholds and principalities in our own lives. God, areas that we hold back or areas that are built up that block your truth. God, we want to walk in freedom. We want to be the vessels, the people of God that you've created us to be. So God, use your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to be over the next few weeks talking about influence. How many of you know that every single one of us has influence? Every single one of us have influence. We possess the ability to influence. Why do you have influence? What is the purpose of influence? What does influence do? What does influence do? Influence allows you to touch other people. Your influence affects other people. And what we're going to look at, at the kind of influence that each of us possess and why God's given it to us and what we can do with that. Let me ask you this. Can we grow in our influence? Can your influence grow or expand? Absolutely. So wherever you are in your influence level right now, let me tell you that God will take you further. He'll expand the territory. He'll expand your influence if you'll let him. If you'll let him. So I got quite a bit of reading I'm going to read to kind of set the stage for us. So if we could, let's flip to Numbers chapter 13. We're going to be talking about Joshua. We're going to see some things in his life, and we're going to begin to understand the influence that he had, and we're also going to understand where he lacks some influence in this story. And so I'm just going to read rather quickly through chapter 13. If you want to follow along, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "The Lord now said to Moses, 'Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes.' So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he sent out 12 men, all the tribal leaders of Israel, from their camp in the wilderness of Paran. These were the tribes and the name of the leaders." I'm not going to go through all those. You can look through those. But verse 16, it says, "These are the names of the men Moses sent out to explore the land. Moses called Hoshea, son of Nun, by the name of Joshua." Verse 17, "Moses gave the men these instructions as he sent them out to explore the land. 'Go north to Negev and into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good? Is it bad? Do their towns have walls? Are they unprotected like our open camps? Or is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops. It happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes.' So they went up and they explored the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near Lobo Hamath. Going north, they passed through Negev and arrived at Hebron, where Ahaman, Shishisha, woo, and Tamai, the ascendants of Anak, lived. The ancient town of Hebron was found 7 years before the Egyptian city of Zoan. When they came to the valley of Ishkol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, so large that it took two of them to carry it on a pole between them. They also brought back samples of the pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Ishkol, which means cluster, because of the cluster of the grapes the Israelite men cut there." So Moses chose, if you remember what we just read. He said he chose leaders. They were already leaders amongst their tribe, so they already had influence, right? Let me say this. Every single one of us have influence, and your influence, you have influence so that you can lead others. So in and of each one of us, there is the ability to lead. And there is a call of leadership to whatever level and degree. Amen? If you are a husband, you have a leadership responsibility in you. If you have children, you have a leadership responsibility in you. And our responsibility is to influence and lead our wives, our home, our children. And so whatever level you're at, if you are a junior high student, you have influence. Come on, Jeremiah and Taylor. What influences a junior high kid more than another junior high kid or a high school kid? That's the greatest influence that they have in their life right then. They look at other people's lives that are either their age or just a little bit older, and they respond to that. And that's why it's so important. That's why the years I spent as a youth pastor, why it was so important to develop young people that will serve God in their junior high or in their high school. Because I could ask you, if you've been, how many of you have been through junior high or high school? Six of you. Wow. Well, I'm not even going to ask you how many of you graduated high school. If you've been in that place and you remember, how hard was it to find other young people who serve God? Was it difficult? Is it difficult, Peyton? I mean, it's hard to find those young people who are passionate, who serve God, who set an example. But I'm telling you what, those of you that know someone who does, their lives can be so influential upon other people. Look, the enemy will make fun, the enemy will bring things against you, but I'm telling you what, your life of faith lived out with commitment and conviction will make such an impact and a difference on other people's lives. I'm telling you, and what we begin to see here is that Joshua and Caleb and all the other tribal leaders who had influence, they went out into the land and they saw things. They experienced things, and then they came back to the whole tribe, to the whole community of Israel, and they brought this report back to them. Let's continue. It's in verse 25 of chapter 13. It says, after exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, the land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. And the Amalekites lived in Negev, and the Hittites and Jebusites and Amorites lived in the hill country. The Canaanites lived along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. And so that there's 12 altogether, but there's 10 of these spies that these people that went in and scouted the land. And these 10 that come back and give this report, they began to spread a negative report. They began to speak this report that began to spread through the community. But in verse 30 it says, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Can you imagine, like, all of the Israelites are there. They're waiting for this report. I'm sure there's an expectation within them. Can you imagine? They sent out these spies for 40 days and they're waiting to come back and hear the report. And the first thing that that 10 of these spies begin to do, they begin to say, oh, well, the towns are fortified. The people are giants. Isn't that just like us as humans? We always want to focus on the negative. Have you ever been around people like that? That everything that comes out of their mouth, they always criticize. They're always critical. They always focus on the negative things. How does that make you feel? Does it get you fired up? Are you ready? Excited? No, it begins to bring you down. And this is exactly what was happening with all the Israelites. Had God promised them the land? God had already promised them the land. And so they come back and they begin to use the influence that they had. They used their influence and they began to spread this report. But Caleb, he tried to quiet the crowd. He said, let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. Caleb and Joshua were listening to the Lord. The Lord was leading them. They heard what the Lord said. They were ready to go. They began to use their influence that they had, and they wanted to influence the crowd. They wanted to influence the community to go after what God had put before them. But there was 10 other spies. And what was wrong with them? What was going on in their head? What did they see? All they saw, all they felt was fear. What they saw was their life might come to an end. What they saw is these giants might beat them. What they didn't do is they didn't remember what the Lord had told them. And I think so many times we in our own lives, we get in that place, we forget what God's told us. We forget who God is in our life. And it's in those moments where we get weak and we begin to believe what the enemy says to us. And what begins to happen in this situation here? It says, but the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. We even saw giants there. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. All of a sudden, these 10 people that were afraid began to use their influence to spread a bad report. Now, let me tell you this about God. God has a will for our life, doesn't he? God absolutely has a beautiful and perfect will for your life. But let me tell you one thing that can supersede God's will for your life. There's something that's stronger in your life than what God would will for you to do. And that is your own will. That is your own will. You can choose to go a different direction than what God has for you. And we begin to see this very clearly in this scripture. Because God willed for the Israelites to go at once and take the land. Amen? Wasn't that God's will? For the Israelites to cross the Jordan River to go into the land he was giving them and take it. Would God had went before them? Would God had conquered the people and the cities? Was his word true? Absolutely. But these ten spies came back and began to spread a negative report. They used their influence. 10 of them against 2. What would you be more likely to believe? 10 or 2? We would probably be more likely to believe the 10. And so these 10 began to form this story. And they began to form this report. And they began to spread it. And all of a sudden, we see a shift in the tide of the community. All of a sudden, their focus, what they believed, who they were listening to, it began to change. And all of a sudden, what God willed for their life began to take the back seat to their own will. And what happened is that these people that spread the report, they spread fear. And how many of you know that when we begin to get fearful, we begin to forget what God says? When we begin to get fearful, we begin to forget God's plan for our life. When we begin to listen to the wrong things, we begin to go in the wrong direction. And what God is saying in this right here, he's saying, look, if you'll believe, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what's out there. It doesn't matter what the newspaper says. It doesn't matter what's going on. You listen to me. You follow after me because I have a will for your life. But God is so wonderful, but yet sometimes have you ever said, God, just take control of my life? Has anybody ever said that? Like you wanted to live a certain way, but you just couldn't quite, you just continued to fail, and you just say, God, just take control of my life. Just make my decisions for me. It'd be so much easier, right? And we find ourselves sometimes in that place. But really what God says is, look, I trust you. God trusts us enough, and he trusts himself enough. Have you ever messed up so far that God can't get a hold of you? Have you ever got so far away from God that he couldn't find you? Is God's arm too short? No. And so even though we may postpone the will of God, God will ultimately bring things. He'll work things in us, and he'll accomplish what he wants to accomplish, right? How many of you as a young man or a young woman, maybe in your teens or early 20s, you began to experience and take off in a whole different direction than what God had for you? Anybody? Yeah. And there's time in our life, man, where we just went after things and we missed what God's will for our life is. How many of you, like now you're like, God, I wish I would have served God with all my heart when I was 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. So you look back on that and you go, man, I miss so many opportunities. I miss so much destiny in my life during that time. What I love about Joshua and Caleb, obviously they were young men. Obviously they had influence, and obviously they trusted God. Obviously they understood what God had said, and they were willing to give their lives for it. But this bad report began to come back, and all of a sudden the whole community wanted to destroy and kill. They wanted to stone Moses, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, anybody that was in God's will, they wanted to destroy. Which I find that amazing, that in those moments where God wants to give us everything that he's promised, we want to destroy the messenger that brings the good news. And it's in that moment right there that we see this shift and this change. Because God says, look, if you want to choose, you want to do that, you have your own will. If you want to do that, you want to go that direction, God says, okay. It's not my best for you, but if that's the way you want to go, then you can. And so the whole Israelite community began to say, look, let's stone them, let's kill them. They even said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's go back to being slaves. Look, doesn't that happen in our own lives so many times? We think we got a better plan than God. So many times we think we got it all figured out so much better than God, and that our plan is so much better than his. And so many times we allow fear to drive us, don't we? We allow fear to be the one that motivates us and pushes us. We allow fear to steer our lives. What are the things we're afraid of? What are the things we're afraid of? We're afraid of failure, okay. What else are we afraid of? Afraid of death? How many of you are afraid we won't have enough money? Sometimes God leads us in a place or he calls us to do something, and the fear that comes upon us is, I won't have enough money. Let me ask you this. Will God fail you? How many of you have missed so many meals before? You weren't sure you're going to make it. How many of you spent just night after night out in the rain, in the elements? Maybe some of you. Most of us have not. How many of you don't have enough clothes? She sold a bunch of her clothes. How many of you ladies don't have enough shoes? I mean, God just come up short on that one. You don't have enough shoes. No. I didn't say a word. I did not say a word. How many of you, God just left you short? I mean, he just come up short in your life. Let me tell you, God doesn't come up short. God does not come up short. If anything comes up short, it's our ability to believe in his faithfulness. Because God is faithful every single time. Does that mean everything's going to be beautiful and wonderful and everything's going to work out just like a bed of roses? Absolutely not. It's going to rain on you just like it rains on the unjust. Death is going to come knocking on your door and in your life just like it does everybody else. There's going to be good things and there's going to be bad things that happen. Listen, Stephen Furtick, he made this quote. He said, look, the absence of attack is not evidence of the presence of God in your life. Come on. The absence of attack is not the evidence of God's presence and power in your life. The evidence of God's presence and power in your life is when you are in the midst of attack, when you're in the storm, how are you handling it? What's your attitude like? That's the power and the presence of God in your life. And so right here we have the Israelites. They're right on the edge of destiny. I mean, do you understand? They're standing on the other side of the river. I mean, across the river is the promised land. They're that close to it. They could taste it. They could smell it. They even had some of the fruit from the land. And I think God takes us up to that point so many times. And he says, what do you want to do? Well, whose report are you going to believe? You get right on the edge of it. You're right there looking at destiny, at what God has for you. And so many times we allow the fear and the report of the enemy to begin to steer our hearts. It's in those moments where we got to begin to rise up in us and say, whose report am I going to believe? Whose voice am I going to listen to? What am I going to put my eyes on? What direction am I going in? And it's in that moment, man, sometimes you got to pull up your pants legs. You got to begin to step out into the water before it begins to part. It's in those moments you got to allow God's perfect love to cast out the fear that's in you. Listen, I'm telling you, God will allow your will to be done if you so choose. And I'm telling you, I stand here before you as a witness. I've experienced my will before. I've tasted it. And let me say, it ain't good. I found myself in places I should have never been. I've done things I never should have done. I've been with people I never should have been with. I spent the night in jail before, actually a couple times. Should have never been there. I've been places, I've done things because, you know why? Because Johnny wanted to. Johnny decided. Was that God's will for my life? Absolutely not. But God will allow your will. And that's what we see happening right here is the influence that Joshua and Caleb had in that moment wasn't enough to overcome the 10 spies report. Their influence, let me tell you this, you have influence. You have influence. It's not a matter of whether you have influence. You do have influence. Now, let me tell you this, you can have good influence or you can have bad influence. Joshua and Caleb, they believed the Lord. They had their influences. They were wanting to lead God in the right direction. But let me tell you this. If an overwhelming majority decides to do their own thing, go in their own direction, believe the report of the enemy, guess what? God will not stand in your way. Now let me tell you this. There are consequences, though, when we make bad decisions. When we choose to go in our direction rather than following the Lord, let me tell you, there are consequences for our decisions. And we see this in this story so clearly. Because God says, all right, Israelites, you don't want to listen to me. You don't want to believe the report. You don't want to be influenced by the Spirit of God. You want to be influenced by fear. Well, then you can go. And what they didn't realize was what was going to happen is not one adult, except for Joshua and Caleb, would live to see the promised land. What they didn't understand that as they chose their own will, that they would die in that desert. And what these 10 spies didn't realize is that they would die. Do you know? Let me read that to you, just so you know. In chapter 14, verse 36, it says the 10 men Moses had sent to explore the land, the ones that incited rebellion against the Lord with their bad report, they were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. You don't think there's consequences for choosing to follow your own will and abandoning what God had told you to do? Let me tell you, there is. And I think if we're all honest and we all have some recollection, we can see that in our own minds and the decisions that we made and the consequences that they carried, that in some ways we've experienced that. We found ourselves in a place because we chose to go a different direction than what God had for us. What I believe God's doing for us now is He's setting our feet in a place. He's positioning us in a place where we can influence like Joshua and Caleb. He's setting up that dominion in us that we don't have to have our own will, but that we can literally pray, God, your will be done. And I think if we're honest again, I think if we think about it, if ultimately at the core of who we are, is that's really what we want. We really want God's will to be done in our life. We really do. Sometimes we go against it. Sometimes we got people speaking into our lives that are leading us in a different direction. And let me tell you this. Let me tell you, you better get people like that out of your life. That might sound a little harsh, but I'm telling you, if not, you'll find yourself just like the Israelites. You'll start believing the majority of what they're saying. You'll start allowing their words to penetrate your heart, to lead you in a direction that God never meant for you to go. Listen, let me tell you, God has your best in mind. I'm telling you, you don't even have to second guess it. You don't have to ponder that one because God has your best in mind. And when He leads you in a direction, it might seem crazy. It might seem way out there. It might seem a big, huge stretch for you. But let me tell you, if God's leading you, you better go. Follow Him. Believe in your heart. Let the faith rise up in you and you go after it with all your heart. Because God has some promises for you. He's got a promised land for you. I'm telling you, I never want you to miss what God's got for you. I never want you to be led by fear and misdirection. I never want a bad report to decide which way you're going. Because God has a plan. He has destiny for you. And some of you sitting there this morning, and I say those words to you, and you still don't believe it. You still don't believe that God's got destiny and purpose and a plan for you. And I'll tell you what, some of you will walk out of here today and you'll follow after yourself. You'll follow after your own will and you'll miss what God's got going on for you today. But listen, God's not done with you. That's the beautiful thing about God is He is not done with you. And no matter how far off the course you get, listen, He'll still be right there with you. Isn't that awesome thing about God? Is that He goes with us even when we miss the direction. And so the Israelites, even though they missed it, even though they had to spend the next 40 years of their life wandering in the desert, did God ever leave them? Did God leave them in the desert by themselves? No, God was there with them. God was right there with them the whole time. And 40 years later, He brought them right back to the same place. And Joshua, we're going to see this over the next couple weeks, but Joshua, he's had a change. He's had a change. And because him and Caleb, they could not influence the whole community. They couldn't. Their influence wasn't to the degree that they could change the tide of this bad report. And the majority of the people wanted to follow after what the enemy was saying. And the enemy kept them wandering in the desert. Let me tell you this. How many of you are tired of wandering in the desert? How many of you are tired of wandering in the desert? Listen, let me tell you. Hear what the Lord is saying to you. Stop believing the lies. Stop allowing the enemy to speak into your life. And let me tell you, if you've got people around you that continue to speak a bad report and negative and continue to influence you in the wrong way, listen to me. Get them out of your life. That might be harsh, but let me tell you, I'm giving you a word. Get them out of your life. Don't let them have influence in your ear or you'll be wandering in the desert just like the Israelites. And you'll die missing the promised land that God had for you. You got influence. God wants to use you. Every single one of you, you're called to be a leader. You're called to lead. You're called to lead. Will you answer the call? Will you answer that call to lead others? To use your influence for good and not for evil. So we got to decide. We have to decide in our hearts. Are we going to lead? Are we going to influence? Are we going to be positive? Are we going to add value with our influence? Or are we going to subtract? Are we going to take away? Are we going to steal? What I'm praying this morning is that the spirit of Joshua and Caleb, man, that ability to believe the word of God and stick to it no matter what the odds look like. Because let me tell you, if you look into our world, you look into, if you just take our ground right here, if you just look into Jackson County and Seymour, if you looked at the overwhelming odds, they're stacked against us. Amen? There are some things out there that look like giants, right? Amen? Seriously, you look at the drug addiction. You look at the overwhelming drug addiction that's taking place in Jackson County. We got any professionals in here that deal with that? You see that. You can testify to it. Those are giants. Those are things, the overwhelming divorce factor and the broken homes and all of these things, man. If you begin to look at them, if you begin to believe the report, all of a sudden, man, it'll lead us into a place of fear, and we won't be able to use our influence for the kingdom of God. All of a sudden, the enemy will have us in a place where we're ready to go back to slavery. We're ready to go back to Egypt. We're ready to get the heck out of here. Because really, what it come down to is that the Israelites, man, this is going to cost us something. I'm telling you what, if you've walked with the Lord or you've been in the house of the Lord or you've walked on your spiritual journey, let me tell you, it costs you something, doesn't it? It costs you something. Jesus laid it all down for us, and then he calls us to lay it all down, doesn't he? Let me tell you, salvation is a free gift from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you what, your spiritual journey that you walk out, it's going to cost you every single day of your life. It's going to cost you every single day of your life. But I can promise you this, if you'll follow after God and God's voice in your life, he has your best in mind. And he wants to take you places, listen, that you cannot go by yourself. And he'll put people around you that will encourage you and push you. There will always be that little voice that wants to bring fear and doubt and distraction. And I don't know if you'll bear witness with me, but would you say, I'm just tired of being distracted? I'm tired of being distracted, and I know God's got more. I'm tired of being distracted, and I know God's taking me somewhere. I'm tired of being distracted, and I want to walk in my purpose. I want to walk in my purpose. I want to hear the right things. I want to have my eyes on the right things. I want to go in the right places, and I want God's will to be done. Listen, we're about to embark. Jason, can you come? We're about to embark on a 21-day Daniel fast. For those of you that, if you're in leadership at all here at Cornerstone Community Church, you're all but required to walk in this, all right? If you are a participating member in the body, you are almost required to walk in this. If you're just a believer in general, I would encourage you to walk in this. But over these next 21 days, I'm believing as we pray and we fast and we seek the Lord and we deny our body of some pleasures, food. And see, this is one of the things, man, that just kind of drives us, because most of the time if we want something to eat, what do? We just eat it. It might be 10 o'clock at night, but I want a bowl of ice cream. Guess what? Some of you are like, nah, I ain't going to get no ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. Well, let me tell you this. I'll get a bowl of ice cream at 10 o'clock at night. It goes right to my hips, I'll tell you. Just kidding. Look, our body is so used to craving, and we satisfy the craving. That's kind of how the humanity, it's just selfishness that continues. Whatever that craving is, we satisfy it. And during this 21-day Daniel fast, what we're going to do is we're going to begin, instead of our flesh leading us, what we're going to do is our spirit's going to rise up and tell our flesh what to do. And so when your body tells you, hey, get this or get that to eat, you're going to say, nope, Nope. I'm going to show you who's boss. And you see, with the Israelites, their flesh was leading them. They were afraid. They were scared. They didn't believe what God said. Their spirit was not in control. But Joshua and Caleb, their spirit rose up, didn't it? We see the strength of their spirit. Because when your spirit is strengthened, guess whose voice you hear the loudest? His. When our flesh is weak, when our spirit is weak, guess whose voice you hear the loudest? Your flesh. And see, there's going to be a transformation. As we seek the Lord and we pray and we fast over these next 21 days, there's going to be such an alignment, such a harmony. It's going to begin to prepare the way for 2017. Will you believe that? Will you believe that? That over these next 21 days, it's going to begin to set the course for our individual lives and for us as a body. And I want to encourage you as we get into this. It starts at sundown tonight. So hit up Taco Bell today. Wear out the drink machine. Get your pop. Drink some coffee, whatever. You know, load up on it. Now you may throw up, but hey. It's just all part of the process, that purging that it takes. I'm totally kidding, okay? Some of you got a serious look on your face. But get ready. At sundown today, we start 21 days, and we'll end on the 29th at sundown. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I mean, I'm it's weird. I'm stoked. it's like, all right. This is going to be an awesome time. And I challenge you, whatever you've done in the past, take it another notch. Take it another notch. Go a little bit deeper. Go a little bit further. Challenge yourself just a little bit more. And let the Spirit of God rise up in you. Have dominion in you. Lead you, guide you, and direct you. Amen. Amen. Listen, we all have influence. Are we going to use it for good? We're going to use it for bad. That's the question we got to ask. What are we going to use our influence for? If you would, stand to your feet. Let's just go out today with some singing in our heart. Go out with some praise in our heart. Let's get ready for our 21-day Daniel fast. Let's get ready for some spiritual breakthrough. Spiritual breakthrough, come on. Just raise your hand if you need a breakthrough. If you're searching and you need a breakthrough in your personal life, your spiritual life, your financial life, if you need a breakthrough, come on, just lift your hand up before God. Say, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. Maybe you got a loved one who is far from the Lord. I need a breakthrough. Come on, maybe you need purpose in your life. Say, I need a breakthrough. Come on, maybe you got a financial situation that's going on. You need a breakthrough. Maybe just in your own personal life, you've maybe gotten stagnant or comfortable or complacent. Just say, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough because we serve a God who is a chain breaker. Amen. He breaks chains. He breaks chains. Come on, Jason. Come on, I want to encourage us this week. Let's have an awesome week getting into our fast, getting sharpened in our direction. Listen, get those voices that are speaking negative things, get them out. Move them out. Get focused on God's voice, and let's get moving in the right direction. He's got places for us to go, people for us to see. Amen? Amen. Come on, spend some time together right now, shaking hands, hugging necks, and you're dismissed in Jesus' name.